If I could just take a brief moment to explain something about moments. Not all moments in time are the same. There are some moments that change everything, some moments that set you on a different path, altering your life forever, some moments from which no one and nothing will emerge the same. This story begins with one of those moments. At first glance, such moments can seem incredibly ordinary. It's only looking back, when your bag of wrinkles and involuntary farting has become a regular part of your day, you can see how very momentous the particular moment actually was. Momentous moments are like that. They're often long gone before you can see flashing arrows from every other important moment in your life pointing right at them. Now you, modern reader, have probably already twigged that someone called Vincent has a part to play in this particular moment, and you'd be right. But he wasn't alone. So before we begin, let me introduce you to the two people forever tethered to this moment in time. The two people whose worlds were not just shaken but transformed so completely they were as unrecognizable as the life of a butterfly is to a caterpillar. That gets me thinking. I wonder if a butterfly remembers being a caterpillar. Safe to say we'll never know, I guess. Life's full of grand mysteries, isn't it? Introducing Vincent. Vincent lived in an ordinary town called Barry. The name says it all, the way it falls out of your mouth and sort of drops onto your big toe like a ball of lead. Barry. Barry has never not once appeared on a bucket list nor a t-shirt like I Love New York or London or Paris. In fact, the only reason anyone ever came to Barry was to drive through it on their way to the grandest hotel on earth. Now, Vincent and his family lived on Standard Street, just below Parr Street. His house was ordinary, his clothes were ordinary, and his hair was ordinary too. Do I need to tell you it was brown? Average in height, with no unusual or distinguishing features whatsoever, not even a freckle, Vincent was so ordinary that being mistaken for someone else was the only time he was noticed at all. And there was no one of any note in Vincent's family. Made up of fruit pickers and ticket collectors and factory workers, they just got through life as best they could, much like the rest of us. Of course, no one is truly ordinary once you get to know them, and after that moment, Vincent would never be described as ordinary again. Introducing Florence. Now, it's hard to imagine anyone less ordinary than young Florence. She lived in the grandest hotel on earth. Her full name was, as you'd expect, extremely grand. It was Florence Vivian Delilah Everest Wainwright Cunningham III. Her wardrobe was grand. Milk blue velvet skirts, lace shirts, beaded and feathered hand-stitched jackets, and emerald boots that lit up and played Bach when she walked. Of course, her family was grand too. Grand in size, grand in imagination, grand in talents. Inventors, artists, spies, explorers. Her Aunt Violet was a famous jazz singer, and her Uncle Earl was the first man ever to jump from the edge of space. Already 29 Wainwright Cunninghams had found their way into the Guinness World Records book. And then, of course, there was her parents' hotel, the grandest hotel on earth. So grand it itself was in the Guinness World Records as the grandest hotel in all the world. An award anyone with half a chicken's brain should surely have worked out from the name alone. Did you know the book Guinness World Records is in the Guinness World Records book? I kid you not. Another one of life's mildly amusing mysteries. So let's get cracking, shall we? My co-author just gave me his wind-it-up signal, which means time to push our story wagon out onto the street and get moving. Having said that, I'm sure he won't object if I take one more moment to tell you about him. After all, these days, co-authors are as rare as a rap song with no swearing, which is why I feel so incredibly lucky to have one. To start with, they're useful. Say if I decide to take a little lie down and it's not yet 3 o'clock, my co-author whispers in my ear and reminds me that only people who wear nappies nap at this time of day and to get back to my desk pronto. He also tells me when my jokes suck, his word not mine, or when I'm getting muddled up. He's like a big stick, a huggable big stick, and I'm the piñata. Those lollies aren't going to come out by themselves, if you know what I mean. Now, there are many authors who don't need a stick. Most of them enjoy jogging long distances at dawn, I'm told. But I, modern reader, am not one of them. Honestly, I don't know what I'd do without him. My co-author doesn't just help tell the story. In many ways, he is the story. Clear as chunky stew, I know. But once things get underway, you'll understand exactly what I mean. Trust me, he'll make sure of it. Shall we?